Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ray Fittipaldo and the Steelers coming up on Friday's show. Also, we're going to have the King, of course, with picks on Friday. Monday, Ken Pomeroy, Ken Pom basketball ratings. Tony Knopp next week. Wow. High school roundtable coming up tomorrow. Well, Duke last night scored 59 points in the first half in Indianapolis and then scored 59 points in the second half. For the uninitiated, that's 118 points against Kentucky. Here's two of them.
Reddish tipped it. Barrett took it away. Four on two. Barrett down the lane with a two-handed flush. Timeout, Kentucky. It's 20-8 with 13:20 to play in the first half.
Blue Devils have it rolling here in this first half. A couple of very impressive transition baskets in the last couple of moments. That one, they had three on one, and R.J. Barrett just blew it up to finish with the two-handed dunk.
Well, it was 20-8 at that point. I would like to point out that after that, it did actually get worse for Kentucky. Kentucky did not actually play well in its two exhibition games. But look, that's two exhibition games. You know, you take something from it, but not a lot. Boy, they were no match for Duke last night. And the interesting part is actually, in terms of favorite, Kentucky was actually the favorite in the game last night. I mean, they were actually the ones that were considered they were the favorite, and they got run out by Duke. Run out by them. Wow. Now, it's only one game. We've seen teams get run out and early, and all of a sudden in February, they're perfectly fine. So, there you go. That is the story there. Let's see, Bucknell opens when? Is it tomorrow night?
That'd be tonight.
Tonight they open. St. Bonaventure?
At St. Bonaventure, yes.
Bonnie's.
6:30 will be the airtime over on Eagle 107. We'll hear from head coach Nathan Davis, and then tip at 7 with Doug. First home game at Soika Saturday night against Fairfield, and then another home game on Tuesday night against Canisius. You can go to bucknell.edu/boxoffice to get your tickets there.
And will it be Kevin and Matt on Saturday for Georgetown?
Kevin and Matt down in D.C. for football on Saturday. You got it. And I believe that's a noon airtime, 12:30 kick on Saturday.
Who is this Ewing that they claim is a legend?
Yes, noon pregame, 12:30 kick from D.C. And then next Saturday, the 17th, will be senior day at Christie against Fordham.
Was this Sleepy Floyd a tailback here? Oh, boy. What a great run by Emerson Fittipaldi. That's what he's been aching to say.
Oops, wrong sport.
Who recruited this Emerson Fittipaldi guy? All right. That's our guy. He'll be out there getting it done.
Deep concern late third, fourth quarter if it's not a game and he goes to Matt. Did I ever tell you about the time I met Sage Karam? Then the wheels will be off the bus.
I'm going to go down to the field. I have to do the postgame show. But there's 12 minutes to go in the third quarter. No, I got to make sure I'm in a good spot.
I need time to prep.
Or this quote. He'll start telling you, about the time I met Sage Karam, and Cottrell's response is, Now I know why Dick Hort left. Boy, that Dave Ritchie's got the pages of a saint. Okay. Le'Veon Bell is obviously not playing this week. Okay. Now there's some question as to whether he's going to report at all. How about that?
Allegedly seen in a Pittsburgh area health club working out last night.
Yeah, that's fine. Do whatever he wants. But, sure. I mean, he's not over at the UPMC Center. He can work out anywhere he wants. Miami, Pittsburgh YMCA, whatever. But it is... We've watched somebody overplay their hand and play themselves out of a spot. That's what he's done. He's played himself out of a spot. And the Steelers, I mean, where's the urgency on the part of the Steelers to sign him? No urgency. None whatsoever. Now, how about Dez Bryant? 1 year deal today with the New Orleans Saints. Well, isn't that interesting? How about that? New Orleans Saints, one-year deal, so it's the rest of the season. Now, I'm going to assume he's kept himself in really good shape. But I think that he is... It's an interesting... That is an interesting deal. It gives Drew Brees another target. And for Dez Bryant, having a guy like Drew Brees as your quarterback gives you a great opportunity to succeed with some good players around you. Okay, how good is Duke? Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated today released his top 60 draft picks. The number one guy on the board is Zion Williamson of Duke. The number two guy on the board is R.J. Barrett of Duke. The number three guy on the board is Cameron Reddish of Duke. How good are we? Top three guys. It's amazing. Romeo Langford of Indiana's 8. We'll see him in the Jordan Center on December 4th. Let's see. Who else is on here that would be familiar?
Yeah, I noticed last night ESPN was doing a slick job of promoting that Earn Everything series that they recorded during the Duke offseason.
Yeah.
Getting everybody up to snuff as to, you know, this phenomenal freshman class that's now on board.
Well, they sure did look good last night. They looked really good last night. They were terrific. Eric Pascal of Villanova's 22. Let's see what else he's got. I don't usually get into these list things, but you know, every once in a while they might be a tad interesting. You find some names in here. Jalen Smith, freshman at Maryland, 25. Penn State will see him December 1st. Jerry Foster, number 27, SMU. Penn State will see him in Cancun. Who else is on here? Let's see. In the suits out. Bruno Fernando of Maryland, 31. He combined pretty well in Chicago. Isaiah Roby of Nebraska. Wow, 32. That was kind of... I know he improved a lot last year. I was really impressed by Roby at the end of last season, but I wasn't impressed on Roby where I felt like, oh, wow, he's a pro prospect, but evidently other people, especially with his length, I guess they see something else, which I understand. Alexander Walker, the guard from Virginia Tech, will be in the Jordan Center on the 27th of this month. Herbert Jones of Alabama, who Penn State will see on December 21st. Who else is on here of any interest in this top 60 group here. Scrolling through it as we go here. A few players, obviously, from overseas that are on this group. But Gonzaga's got three guys on here. That's interesting. Trey Jones of Duke, another guy. Wow. That's four guys they have in the draftable spot, including the top three, which is completely made. Carson Edwards of Purdue is 48. Okay. Boy, it's so hard. The way it's set up, it is so hard right now to come back for another year because you're not going to move up a lot. Tyler Cook of Iowa, 55. Max Strauss of DePaul. Penn State will see him next week. He's 56. It's a good score. Ross Travis's cousin, Reed Travis, who plays now for Kentucky, is 57. Darius Bazley, by the way, who said, you know what? I'm not going to go to Syracuse. I'm going to go to the G League. He's 58. Shamari Pons, who played against Penn State when he was at St. John's, is 59. And Xavier Sneed of Kansas State is in the coveted number 60 spot. So those are the top 60 according to Jeremy Wu. Yeah, hey. It's November, what, the 7th? Yeah. And you know what's funny about that list, Sean? Between now and June next year, there's going to be relatively little change in it. So one thing you'll notice about the NBA, there's not a lot of movement up or down when it comes to draft picks because a lot of these guys are 18, 19, they're going to be 19 years old. It's all done on potential. It's not done on anything else but. So you can put together and say, whoa, look at that. What is he? You know, the NFL, all right, a little bit different ball game as to how they draft and what they're looking at as opposed to the NBA. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are Penn State.
Solely quarterback draw. Open 50, 45, far sideline. 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Trace McSorley. 51 yards.
Saturday, the Nittany Lions host Wisconsin. The tailgate show starts at 10:30. Kickoff is at noon. Nittany Lions football on News Radio 1070 WKOK is brought to you in part by Shade Mountain Winery and Sunbury Motors.
Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. Penn State Saturday takes on Wisconsin. It goes back to what this game goes back to possessions. Wisconsin wants to limit possessions. Now, Penn State doesn't think about limiting possessions. They don't think about that. They want to take the ball. They want to go. What Penn State needs to do offensively, they've got to be better on first and second down to set up third down. Or be better on first and second down and be good enough where, boom, you're back to first down again. But they've got to be better on first down and second down. First down in particular.
really good Penn State teams have usually averaged around 7 yards per play on first down. It's an average. I mean, because obviously you're going to get a 20-yard play one time, and you might get thrown for a loss the next, but you know the average still is 7 yards per play on first down. And Penn State hasn't been that this year. They haven't been that. Early in the season, they were. And then they've really struggled to find something. I mean, they've done it in spurts. They did it in a spurt against Indiana. They did it in a spurt against Iowa. Obviously, against Michigan, none of that materialized. But they've got to keep themselves on schedule where, okay, it's now 2nd and 5. Okay, now it's 3rd and 1.5 or 2. Well, now your ability to pick up that 3rd down becomes obviously exponentially easier. Just the numbers tell you that. So they've got to do a better job, especially, I think, on 1st down. But 1st and 2nd down combined to put them, quote, on schedule and make 3rd down easier. That keeps the offense on the field and keeps the defense off the field. Defense was on the field for 38 minutes against Michigan. In a lot of ways, the defense did some good things. I mean, Michigan only had 14 points with a minute to go in the third quarter. So, I mean, you're not exactly getting a run out of the ballpark defensively. Didn't create any takeaways. Now, they did get the block kick, but again, in the scrum of that, you know, again, what happened on the block kick is some. First of all, the official made the right call. There's nothing wrong with the call the official made. Same thing on the Trace McSorley play on the hook slide. It's where you start to slide, and it was obvious to Jack and me both because we said it right away in the air. He's not there. He was like 6 to 9 inches short. The official did call it right, and if James had challenged it, he would have lost it. Now, when it comes to the block kick, yeah, there is a block below the waist. But, again, Nick comes through and he blocks it. Now, if the block kick goes forward, going toward, forward for Penn State, it's going to be a scoop and score, and there's not going to be an illegal block. But what happened was he blocked it. It went just beyond the line of scrimmage. Garrett Taylor picked it up, started running toward us a couple steps. Then, boom, circled back and started going to the far sideline. When you do that, everybody turns. And that's where the illegal block occurred. And it was the right call. There's no getting around it. So it's not like they didn't have moments. It's not like at the start of the third quarter where I was talking on the broadcast about, look, the defense needs to set a tone, get some 3 and outs to help the offense out, get them going here. And they did it. They did it. Now they're going to face, in terms of running the football, I mean, this team is 4th in the nation overall. Taylor is 1st in the nation in running the ball. The one weakness that Taylor has is Taylor puts the ball on the ground. That is a weakness for Wisconsin. At times they have a tendency to put the ball on the ground. Now the question is, can Penn State take advantage of it? Cone might be the quarterback. Okay. Good young player, but obviously in a different spot than he's normally been in. The conditions. You're talking about 35, 36 degrees, winds maybe 15 to 18 miles an hour, and it says here it might gust to 36. Now your running game really becomes important. And Miles Sanders has proven to be a really good running back and probably idealistically should be getting more touches. So we'll see about that on Saturday. Noon game. Yeah, and and obviously the parking situation's hard, but I mean, here's the issue with the parking situation. What's the one thing that you think won't happen? The one thing that you think that won't happen is, hey, look, I mean, a couple of people might get stuck, but I'm not going to get stuck. And I drive past those parking lots all day. It's not the parking spaces. The parking spaces are fine. There's no issue with the parking spaces at all. It's the runways that you drive in to get to your parking space. They are right, the mud is so thick in those areas, and they never recovered from the Iowa game. That's the problem. The mud is so thick in the runway areas that it's going to be tough for some people, and it's supposed to rain here Friday, maybe 0.8 inches. I mean, not a small rainstorm again. And again, that's the problem. And I know all of you people pay for your parking. I know that. You pay for your space. I know that. And it's tough. The problem is that if they open up all those lots, the potential for some big problems would exist. And again, it's not your parking space. Your parking space, in all likelihood, is in really good shape. It's the runways that you have to drive in and drive out of where it's just, that's the problem. And, you know, obviously I feel awful about that. Feel awful about the, you know, because, like, you do pay good money to be there. It's also the other part, too, is those are, the parking lots at Beaver Stadium, while being, to me, you know, I go everywhere. You know, I've gone everywhere. I've gone to Notre Dame, USC, Texas, Michigan, Ohio State, Miami. You know, been all over the place.
I remember that home game close to 10 years ago. It was an October game against Minnesota, and there was no parking in the grass. And I found a spot on the suite section and looked past that and down toward the hospital and out toward 99. And just it was just really weird seeing it all bare with no cars.
Right. And again, I mean, do you think Penn State wants to close lots? Of course they don't. But if you
safety,
see those,
and safety comes into play, too. That's the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, no question. But the other part, too, is I drive past there every day. You should see how bad the runways are with the mud. And it's going to rain heavy again Friday.
It's just in. We don't need the rain.
So, we go 2 weeks without it. You've got somebody out there crying drought.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lady Lion basketball tomorrow with Providence. Soccer, NCAA tournament, Bowling Green, Jeffrey Field Friday night. Men's basketball opens up on Friday with North Florida. Saturday, it's football, Penn State and Wisconsin. Sunday, it's wrestling. They're going to be Kent State Sunday. And the way the lineup looks like right now, you know Bo Nickel, of course, is moving up to 197. So another weight change for him. But Devin Schnupp at 125, Roman Bravo Young at 133, Nick Lee, a lot of people like him, at 141. Jared Verlekin at 149, Jason Nolf at 57, Vincenzo Joseph at 65, Mark Hall at 74. Shakur Rashid at 184, Bo Nickel at 197, Anthony Kasser at 285. Four seniors, a couple of juniors, two sophomores, redshirt freshmen, true freshmen. Seven gold medals in that lineup. Now, Schnupp went 1-14 as a freshman at 125. All right, so we'll see how it turns out for him. Rashid was at 197. He's at 184. Nickel goes to 197.
Yeah, what a great predicament that they were in last year when they were going between Rashid and Anthony Kassar at 97 last year. And Kassar with performance the night of the Ohio State dual meet.
Well, Kassar now is at 235. So that helps. They said the Kassar averaged between 6,000 and 7,000 calories per day to get there. Now, we know a person in our office that does the same thing but is not a wrestler.
It's a lot of protein shakes. Man. It's that extra scoop of peanut butter for each protein shake. It adds up.
Now, by the way, Neville's has to, you know, has had to wrestle off for this thing. which is anyway. I mean, you still got Nick Neville's there. And of course, Bo Nickel, of course, has been in Budapest. Did so in October. In fact, we had a sit down with Bo before he went. Bo's going to be the feature on the Roar segment this week on television on the Unrivaled TV show. And before he went to Budapest, we sat down to do the interview with him because David Taylor, who ended up winning the world championship, personally selected Bo to be his training partner there. Now, you can't put a price on experience like that. You just can't. And congrats, by the way, to Rich Lorenzo. Rich Lorenzo is one of the truly great guys I've ever been around here at Penn State. And he was, and Rich Lorenzo, who did a phenomenal, you know, he's obviously an outstanding wrestler here, but just I thought was a, did a tremendous job as the head coach here. Has been elected to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. He's part of the 2019 class. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, most of his time was in the 80s here. I think he was here from 78 to 91 or 92, something like that. But Rich Lorenzo is going to go into the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him. So, I mean, we'll slip in some stuff about wrestling from time to time here, like we always do. But they do start their season on Sunday, and I think it was worth talking about the national champion that keeps winning national championships. So that's going to be an interesting lineup they have. That's the lineup to start the season.
Of course, end of the month, they will be in Lewisburg. Soika Pavilion will be Penn State Bucknell on November 30th.
Yeah. See, and that's what Cale does. Cale takes the program to different places. He's trying to promote the sport wherever he can. And that's what you need to do. You need to get matchups like that and take, you know.
Well, you love to have that in-state built-in rivalry every year with Lehigh. That's always great. Always, you know, stokes the fans up. But like you said, too, they also bring in other people and other programs like Arizona State this year, for instance.
Yeah, look, you're just trying to, you're trying to get the program going wherever. You know, you're trying to get the sport going wherever you can. I mean,
reminds me of their trip to Utah there a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, they did. And they, what was it? I want to say, was Utah Valley State?
There you go.
I think they wrestled. Yeah, well, of course, you know, it's Cale going home, too. But, yeah, and they sold it out. Boston University's wrestling program was hanging on, so Cale took it up there. They sold it out. Now, it didn't help. Boston University still dropped the program. But that's why, you know, when I talk about these court cases that are going on right now, like the one in California where the NCAA is not exactly projecting a lot of confidence going to win it, where they're talking about athletes being paid. Right? Well, fans of other sports, first of all, fans of football and basketball probably should not be all that concerned about it. Oh, yeah, it'll be different. It'll be different. Okay? But it's the people who are fans of the other sports that don't make money, that lose money. They're the ones that need to be worried about these cases. Because the reason is simple. You need the money. There's a reason why, you know, I mean, I know they've tried to put a different spin on all these other sports. You know, so they used to be called non-revenue sports or non-revenue producing sports. And they said, well, no, they produce revenue, but they spend way more than they produce. Okay. So then they came up with the term Olympic sports. Okay, fair enough. But there is an economic reality. And the economic reality is you can't, I mean, these sports cannot sustain themselves. So they need football and basketball to do it. Okay. So now you take it to the next part. If now football and basketball players are to be paid if they lose this case, A, what model do you come up with? B, is the next thing we see in court, a Title IX suit. Well, you're paying these male athletes. What about female athletes? And now you start going to the merry-go-round of that. And I only say it's call it a merry-go-round because now you're paying out all this money and trying to make sure you're following the law and balancing it. There's going to be sports left out in the wash because you can't afford them. That's why I brought up with Frank Bodani earlier about going from 4 to 8 teams in the college football playoff. The reason I brought that up is if you go from 4 to 8 schools in the college football playoff, Sean, what follows when you double the field?
Revenue.
It's all about cash.
And they have a chance if they want. They could rip up the current agreement and draw up a brand new one and expand to 8 teams. They don't have to wait till this deal lapses, right? And there's, what, 5 years left maybe? Four or five?
Is this year 5 of it? I think it has 7 years left. And they can rip it up any time and do that. But I think one of the areas that's going to make them do it is if suddenly there is pressure financially to do this. If there's pressure financially, then it becomes, then they're looking for any, what other avenue do you have to get cash? To do this? I mean, some places like Alabama, football and men's basketball support 17 other sports. Here, it's supporting 29 other sports. At Ohio State, it's supporting 32 other sports. I mean, that's a lot of people you're trying to take care of. Under the current model, you can do it. Penn State is not in the red. So they're supporting their 31 sports, and they are not in the red. So that's a big plus. And I think there's also a thought process of, yes, and I saw they made $5 million last year. Yeah, $5 million can go like that in today's athletics. That's just enough of a little bit of a pad, a rainy day fund in case something crazy comes up. You know, and as I mentioned before in the wrestling part, but, I mean, look, you've got to hammer home what the facts are and not what the fantasy is. When you see a sold-out rec hall, what is the assumption you make? While they're doing great, they're making money. Okay. Now, do I understand why that assumption is made? Of course I do. You're seeing every seat filled. Yet the economic reality is that, you know, that the losses are close to $1 million a year. Just the way it is. There's no TV contract, no radio contract, no, you know. Somebody called up the show and said, well, they were on the Nationals. You know, that was on ESPN, so they got, no, they got expense money. It's what you get. You get your expenses. You know, to travel, hotel, things like that. So, you know, you don't lose money on it. But ESPN, when they write the check to do all this, it's for the men's and women's lacrosse and wrestling and baseball and College World Series. And you know, it's for all the championships. It's for all the championships outside of football and men's basketball. And then, of course, there's the women's tournament where I'm not quite sure how much they put into the women's tournament. I know they outbid CBS for it 20 years ago. I want to say it was actually 16 or 17 years ago. They outbid CBS for it. But CBS didn't know what to do with it either. CBS was like, I don't know what we can do with this. So, I mean, that's why when I talk about these court cases, when I talk about expanding the college football playoff, like my idea of expanding the college football playoff is not so, oh, football is in a wash in cash and now take it. My thought process always is I want to be able to save what Penn State already has. I want to be able to see them save the other 29 sports where they can afford it. They can pay for them. Or I can sit down with Azera Moss and talk to her about her fencing season. Talk to her Lauren Bridges about her women's gymnastics season. Talk to Bo Nickel about his national championship. Talk to Mac O'Keefe about all the goals he scored in men's lacrosse last year. Talk to Sam Sternshine about growing up in Soyuz, New York with Mac O'Keefe. About Liam Foulkes, who scored the golden goal in the Big Ten Championships. I mean, these are all features we've done for Aurora this year. All fabulous, marvelous athletic stories at Penn State about young people who are not playing football or men's basketball. I mean, that's, you know, that's why when I talk about, you know, maybe the out of, you know, I mean, do I think four is the right number? Yes. But do I think realistically they're going to have to expand to eight? Yeah, and I think they're going to have to do so because they're going to need the cash. They're going to need the cash to do it. And when I talk about things like that, I am talking about the women's soccer program. I'm talking about the women's volleyball program. I'm talking about the wrestling program. Talk about all of them. And it's just an economic reality, which I talk about the economic reality as often as I can, because I think it's too easy to get caught up in, it's sold out, they're making money. No. They're not. It's just a fact. It's not a criticism. You know, that's why I'm trying to piece together to you why all these revenue streams are needed. And I'm not talking about revenue streams to benefit football and men's basketball. I'm talking about revenue streams that benefit the whole group. I don't want to see student-athletes lose scholarships. No way. I don't want to see sports that all of you love get cut or reduced. I don't want to see that. That's what a lot of these conversations are about. Tony Knopp's going to be on the show next week. We're going to talk about, you know, what kind of windfall expanding day could mean financially in college football, which would be financially needed for all the other sports. And again, you know, you've got the Alabamas of the world, Texas, Northwestern. Like, they've got 19 sports. People say, boy, Alabama throws a lot of money into their football. That's because they don't have 12 other sports they have to take care of. Now, I'm not saying Penn State should go to 19 sports. Far from it. That's why I want to see Penn State succeed with its 31 sports. But you can't do that with a money tree. All right, come back with more in a moment. Wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. He's a sideline reporter with an umbrella, wearing a white suit. Suddenly the band begins to play. He starts to moonwalk with his white shoes on. He then spins around, throws his hand in the air, trips and falls. It's the suit in Saturday Night Fever.
Wetsuit.
Wetsuit. Is it bad when the owner of the broadcast facility of Champions is texting pictures and screenshots up?
I'm trying to keep a straight face last Friday night while trying to do scoreboard updates at the half during the game on Eagle 107. It's like, I think Kevin got more screen grabs than I did last Friday night. So, I was getting them left and right.
Thanks for letting me know
that the signal's still good.
He does know that they weren't exactly compliments, right? Look at all the attention I'm getting. Yay. Okay. Let's see. Coming up tomorrow, the roundtable, Sealands Grove at Jersey Shore Friday. It's supposed to stop raining, by the way, Friday afternoon. So we'll see.
Keep saying that over and over. I like that.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
And Saturday, Lewisburg is at Montoursville. We're hoping to have Mike Muscala on the show tomorrow, but he took a shot to the nose and he's out. So we'll see now what happens with Mike. Ray Fittipaldo on the Steelers on Friday. The King with us as well. Ken Pomeroy, KenPom.com. Basketball rankings on Monday. Tony Knopp next week on the Business of Sports. And the lead will be expanding the college football playoff and the potential financial windfall it could bring with it. Let me give you this one. What is one of the more familiar refrains that you've heard this week from critics of Penn State football? They have nothing to play for, right? Have you heard that? Can't go to the college football playoff, can't win the division, can't win the Big Ten, they have nothing to play for. You know what? You're absolutely right. Let's all quit. Oh, they shouldn't quit? What do you mean they shouldn't quit? You just told me they have nothing to play for. Everybody should quit. I always love that. Nothing to play for. Guess what? I'm glad you're not playing then. I'm glad that you aren't the one playing. They're playing. I'm glad they are because they think there's a reason to play. Nothing to play for. Well, you know, I think you're right. I think we'll just quit. Season's over. We're done. yes. So many tired stereotypical sayings in sports today.
Uh-oh, we got to bring in Bluto Blutarski for the big speech.
Yeah.
About when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
I know, exactly. I mean, so many tired stereotypical things. Nothing to play for. Or here's one. It's a scheme. You have no idea what the scheme is. All right. But it sounds good at the tailgate. It's all scheme and coaching. I really do. And everybody else, yeah, you're right. And they said, well, what is the scheme and how would you change it? Usually there's no answer.
I'd rather win out and get the bowl victory and we get 10 again. Let's shoot for that.
Exactly right. Well, look, you're playing a very good team this week. You win that, we have a different conversation next week. Well, let's just see. I decided I wasn't going to quit. I'm going to show up and announce it.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.